Hey, welcome everyone. It's slightly past 9:30. The clock on the wall is just a little bit slow, but we're going to go ahead and call to order the April 25th, 2018 variance hearing. My name is Corey Teague. I'm the acting zoning administrator, and I'm joined by Gino Salcedo on the controls as our recording secretary. Just go over some general information about the hearing and the variance process before we get started. First, regarding the order of presentation for each case, sponsors and or property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five required findings are met to justify the variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents to the proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is also allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public at any time. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on any of these items, please stand up when those items are called, otherwise they will be granted. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items that are not on today's agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time if they wish. Regarding the criteria for justifying a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish all of the following five findings. Finding one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding four, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is actually final until a decision letter is issued. And due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months or longer to complete from the day of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact mailing information. That's over there against the wall. Regarding appeals, the zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until that letter is issued. Private conversations can be very disruptive to the hearing, so we ask that you conduct all such conversations outside the hearing room. Just be aware the next variance hearing is scheduled for May 23rd, 2018. And audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda for on the hearing agenda for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. So we'll now move on to today's calendar, starting with items proposed for continuance. Items number one for 99 Cedro Avenue and item number two for 2450 to 2452 Filbert Street are both proposed to be continued to next month's variance hearing on May 23rd. Is there any public comment on the proposed continuance of these two cases? Don't expect any. I don't see any. So seeing none, these items are continued to next month's variance hearing. We will now move on to the consent calendar. And there are six cases proposed for continuance. However, item number eight for 1649 Treat Avenue received two emails of opposition yesterday and therefore will be removed from the consent calendar and it will be called as the first case on our regular calendar today. The remaining consent items include item number three for 2590 Pacific Avenue, item number four for 819 Francisco Street, item number five for 1105 to 1107 Church Street, Item number 6 for 2093 Golden Gate Avenue, and item number 7 for 1206 to 1208 19th Street. Items on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator. If anyone would like to speak to these items, please step forward now. Otherwise, these items will be granted. Would anyone like to speak on any of the items on the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, we will conclude the consent calendar and we will begin the regular calendar now, starting with item number 8 for 1649 Tree Avenue.
All right, so item 8 for case number 2015-015673 VAR, located at 1649 Treat Avenue, with rear yard variances sought. And project sponsor, when you're ready, you may approach the mic for a 5-minute presentation.
All right, my name is Jim Hellman. I'm the property owner at 1649 Treat, and this is Patrick Donato, who's the architect who's working on the project. I'd just like to briefly correct one of the statements in one of the comments that was received by email yesterday that referred to me as a greedy developer. My fiance and I live in the 900 square foot house at 1649 Treat, and we plan to live in the new unit and rent out the existing unit to help with retirement income. I can see how someone might assume that only a greedy and rich developer might undertake a project like this. We started this over 3 years ago. It's I think, a very challenging process. We started with the Bernal Heights East Slope Design Board, which reviewed it. They had some suggestions, which I believe we accommodated all of them. We went through RDT work and planning and accommodated all the changes that they requested. So we look forward to hopefully moving on to the next step in the project. And Patrick?
As Jim mentioned, we worked closely with the planning department to come up with a solution for Jim's house that was sensitive to the neighborhood and planning code. So we believe we've done that. May I use this device here to display images on the screen?
Yes. Yeah.
These are images of the immediate context of the subject property. You can see on image 4 and 1, that's the fence that faces Ripley Avenue there. And I'm sure anyone here from the neighborhood will recognize most of these properties here. Here are some more context photos. The one on the upper left-hand corner is the map showing where the photos are taken from. And this is the existing and proposed site plan. So the existing site plan is here, which shows the rear of the lot, which is vacant land right now with a stair to access it. And then Jim's existing house on fronting Treat Avenue. This is the elevation of the building that is facing Ripley Street. We believe that it's in context with the scale and character of the neighborhood. And again, we worked closely with the planning department to develop this. And finally, regarding the point that came up in one of the opposition emails that developing the house in this way with two houses on one lot and sharing a rear yard is somehow setting a dangerous precedent. I'd like to point out on this map here. This is a map of the immediate area. The blue rectangle is Jim's property, and the three other rectangles that I highlighted in red are other lots that are also through lots. There are no other through lots in the immediate area. So I don't believe that this sets a precedent, dangerous or otherwise, that somehow developing the lots in this way would occur in a way that would be impacting the quality of life of the neighborhood or character of the neighborhood. That's all.
I'd also like to point out that we've worked with the neighbors on this. We've had them review the plans. All of the adjacent neighbors, the property immediately to the west, the other through lot supports it. There's a very large three lot rental apartment building. It's expanding up to, it's currently five, and they're expanding up to 9 ADU with some additional ADUs. He supports the project, as does the neighbor on the east side. And two of those neighbors have filed emails in support of the project. And we also, one of the neighbors wanted some lot line windows that were in the plan originally, and we've removed those. Thank you.
And just one more image. This is a rendering that we developed while working through the design with the planning department and RDT. This incorporates all of their comments, and again, we feel this is sensitive to the character of the neighborhood. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item?
Shall I give you the affidavit right now?
Yes, the declaration of posting. Please go ahead and submit that.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is Terry Milne. I'm a member of the Bernal Heights East Slope Design Review Board. And I'm here to represent the meeting we had with the architect and the owner in 2015. And we sent a letter recommending several things that could be adjusted or revised in the project. And we had several neighbors come to that meeting. And I would like to submit the letter now that we sent at the time. And we asked for revisions according to our building guidelines for the East Slope, including side yards on one or two sides and some kind of articulation. We have four stories and a building that's 30 or 40 feet long, and it's fairly unarticulated. And I heard somebody just say that windows were removed. Well, that was all that was on the west side of the building. So it seems like there's plenty of room to have some articulation on that huge blank wall. And finally, the little cabin that's on the top floor, we asked for some adjustment, and I haven't seen it adjusted. It was going to be an office space, and I don't know what it is now, but the neighbor directly across the street specifically, personally objected to the fact that that was adding another story to her view. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no other public comment, the sponsor, you have 3 minutes if you want to follow up on that.
So regarding Terry's statement about what is being referred to as a penthouse at the top, it's not a typical stair pop-out. We need to provide access to the roof deck from the lower floor. So there's an intermediate landing that is somewhat extended, that is halfway between the top floor and the roof deck. There's enough room for a desk there, and then you continue out. So it's not a full height pop out that would normally cause concern for blocking somebody's views. It does stick up a little above the roof line, but not much higher than the guardrail. So I don't think it's as large of a concern as we think it is, but we'd be willing to work with Terry to and the committee to address the concern about the height of that and also the articulation of the facade that he mentioned, where the windows may be removed to satisfy a neighbor's concern, but there's other things that we can do to articulate that side.
Yes, and I recall from the design review board meeting that it was when the neighbor who lived across the street, who since, by the way, has sold her condo unit and moved away, that when she objected to actually the building in general because it would block part of her view, it was pointed out by members of the design review board that views are not protected. And you know, we've tried to accommodate the scale and scope of the adjacent buildings. We kept the roof line, you know, in front, and for most of the rest of the roof across the frontage, you know, the same height as the adjacent buildings. We really did not try to push any aspects of the envelope on this project.
Would you like to add anything else?
I'd just like to show one more image, please. So I've just added a couple lines to this to make it show up better. But that line right there represents the height of the glass guard rail for the roof deck. And that line right there represents the height of the pop-out for the stair. And it's set back from the front of the building quite a bit.
Okay, thank you. We'll close the hearing on this item. I think this is obviously a unique block and lot situation in terms of the layout, the dead-end nature of Treat, the topography. I don't think there's any question there that this is not a typical lot situation. I feel like the primary purpose of the rear yard is to work collectively with other rear yards to create a cohesive mid-block open space and all the benefits that creates not developing along Ripley here is not really achieving that. So I think having a well-designed, modest home that kind of continues that that urban wall along Ripley is a positive. I do think that it has been designed contextually, as you pointed out, with the way it achieves its height, the setback from the street, the fact that it keeps 25% separation between the proposed building and the existing building. So I would intend to grant that variance. Thank you.
All right, well, moving on to the next item, which is number 9 on the regular calendar for case number 2017-002863-VAR, located at 19 Cerritos Avenue, with a side, rear, and rear variances sought. And project sponsor, when you are ready, you may approach the mic for your 5-minute presentation.
Good morning, I'm Martin Breuer, I'm with Ruffin Associates, I'm the designer of the project. That's Iris and Tom Buchanan, the owner of 19 Cerritos. And we have been working very close the last, I think, year and a half with the planner Kathleen Campbell and the direct neighbors John and Monica Stacy on how to replace the current garage at 19 Cerritos Avenue. The garage has a roof deck as well. And the reason why we wanted to replace this garage is because it has been in a very bad condition when when the property has been bought. It is rotten and has been added on and tried to work on in unsafe manners. So repairing, unfortunately, is not an option at this condition. So we have been looking into options on how to replace it, and the idea was to keep. It's actually a picture on how it looks at the moment, which gives you an idea that it's quite an eyesore for the neighbor. The idea was to keep the roof deck and the actual footprint of the garage. during the design course, we came up with different solutions on how to do the roof deck because we are in the setback. And the final solution that we came up together with Kathleen Campbell was... this one, rebuilding the garage, but putting a flat roof on it, which lowers the impact on the direct neighbor to, in this case, on the left or to the south. The roof deck will step back 5 feet from the property, and it will be only a portion of the depth, as you can see here. It goes only to this point, and then it fills in between the garage and the rear addition here. The garage itself, is, as I said, will be a flat roof, so it lowers to the garage that is there right now, which gives a bit more sunlight to the neighbor. And it's not only a flat roof, it will be a green roof, so the lookout for the neighbor from upper floors should be a lot nicer than it is right now. The reason why we're here is the footprint. We would like to keep the footprint to allow as much storage in the garage as possible. And that, unfortunately, is a little bit within the setback. But the neighbors definitely support the project. They are looking forward to the garage, which is an eyesore right now, to be gone and be replaced with something that should look very nice to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to say anything, or does that complete your...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I didn't know if you all were done or if you wanted to say anything.
I don't think at this point I don't need to say anything.
Okay, great, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, I'll close the public hearing portion for this case. And so just reminding myself of the project, the footprint between the existing and the proposed is the same?
It's the same, yes.
Exactly the same.
Yep.
And is there any change in height?
It will be a little bit lower than before.
There's a slight reduction in height. Yep. Level it out and add the deck onto it. Okay. And this is the only enclosed parking you have on the site, correct?
That's correct, too, yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, I intend to grant the variance with the condition that the deck portion that's proposed on top of the garage not be enlarged in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next item, number 10, for case number 2016-015279VAR, located at 722 39th Avenue, with a rear yard variance sought.
Good morning, Mr. Tichit. The homeowner is required some medical treatment, this morning. And he just called me and said, he had completed the medical treatment and we would like to see if it's possible to shift our case, two more back so we have time for the homeowner to come here.
Yes, we can move this to later in the calendar. After, so we are currently 12. On item number 10, so we can move this to after item number 12 for 2799 24th Street.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay. Thank you.
All right, we will proceed with item number 11 for case number 2015-011215VAR, located at 340 Division Street, with frontages and ground floor use variances sought.
Mr. T, good morning. Phil Lesser for TNN Properties. We have a pretty neat project here today with MH Architects, Matt, M-A-T-T, Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S. And we have Mr. David Castro, also from MH Architects, D-A-V-I-D-C-A-S-T-R-O. And I'm Philip Lesser, P-H-I-L-I-P-L-E-S-S-E-R, the permit expediter. I'm sure you guys have passed this building a million times. Do we have an overhead? Or
you can go ahead.
You haven't passed the one on the top yet. That's why we're here today. But you have to pass the one on the bottom. Just when you get to the northernmost part of Potrero and you make a left-hand turn, you go to the west. The second building is 340 Division Street. It's been occupied for about 20 years by NABI Construction and Engineering. And what we have here is a intensification of use. They want to demolish the one-story utilitarian wood structure that's there that only takes part of the parcel, and they want to replace it with a four-story building. We already made this intention known to the zoning administrator in 2015. I don't know if I can give you the document, our letter of determination. But you'll see Mr. Teague that highlighted in there, we already noted that the way the building would be constructed was to have parking on the ground level and would have trade shop on the second and third levels and accessory structural engineering. This is a vital intensification of use for the city of San Francisco. The Nabopores are some of the foremost seismic retrofitters of soft stories. When then Mayor Gavin Newsom was proposing the soft story program, he actually had the Nabopores at the press conference to field questions. So parking's been known to the department since the inception of the project. That's what makes the project work. And other than that, this is pretty zoning compliant. The fenestration and other items have been brought up. I'll defer to the architects now to speak to those issues.
Good morning. Again, my name is Matt Hollis, principal at MH Architects. So as Phil mentioned, we have incorporated parking into the first level, and we are, although we have parking and a large garage door, we have nearly 70% of the storefront, the sidewalk level is fenestration. Exceeding the requirement. And we're doing everything we can to make this intensification of use an amenity to the neighborhood. As you can probably imagine, with the two freeways and on either side and sort of the peculiar lot size and lot shape, in my career, I would say that this is probably the most constrained site I've ever had to deal with, certainly the most irregular footprint. And so I believe that the variance for parking is well justified, just given the irregularities associated with this site. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing portion. I tend to agree this is obviously not a typical property here in San Francisco. It has a number of constraints relative to the shape and layout of the parcel, as well as to the intended use of the building. And that obviously creates some severe practical difficulties in terms of that ground floor. And as was mentioned, you know, this is otherwise very much a code-complying project. It seems like it does about as much as it can do on this site to meet the requirements that are proposed for a variance. And so considering all that, I would intend to grant the variance with the standard conditions.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, moving on to the next item, number 12, for case number 2014.1258 VAR, located at 2799 24th Street, with rear yard modification and street frontage variances sought. And project sponsor, if you're here, you can approach the mic.
Is anyone here for the item, item number 12 for 2799 24th Street?
Okay, you can approach. Public comment?
Please come to the mic. We'll note that there's no project sponsor or property owner, and so we will open it up to public comment.
I just wanted to find out, well, my name is Kenneth O'Connor. I live at 1264 Hampshire, and I thought this project was tabled. And then I got a notice about a month ago that it happened again. I also wanted to confront whoever was building it, because I've talked to two people that he approached and said that he asked them to sign a petition for them for speed bumps on York Street, which was actually about his variance for his building. So I wanted to know about him fraudulently getting signatures as well. So there's no other comment that he's here to make, or?
No, there's no one here representing the property owner or the applicant.
Is this project in the works? Is this going on now? I mean,
it's up for hearing right now. That's all I can tell you for sure. I can't speak for the owner or the applicant.
Okay, so I signed up, so I'll find out about a decision.
If a decision letter is issued, you will definitely get a copy of it. Obviously, if you are trying to get in touch with the applicant, we have that information, and
we can provide that information
for you, and you can reach out directly to the applicant.
Okay, I can get that from you guys right now.
If you can wait to the end of the hearing, we can provide that to you.
Do you know how much longer that's going to be?
It's not going to be too long.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment. And considering there was no one here on the applicant's side to speak to the item, I will take the matter under advisement.
So it looks like the last item on our regular calendar is item number 10. If the project sponsor is here, doesn't look like it. Sir, would you like to?
Again, my name is James. Okay. James Lee. I'm the engineer designer for the projects. Unfortunately, it looks like my client was not able to make it. He has emergency, medical treatment this morning, and he really would like to come. So that's why he was trying. Anyhow, the project we have is a single-family house in Richmond District. It's currently two-story building with one story occupying on the second floor and garage in the basement. The homeowner is two elderly. The husband is, healthy. It need a lot of, health attentions. So the purpose of the deck is to provide outdoor space, for the husband that, he could, enjoy, the outdoor space. As you can see that on my little pictures, this is the existing, the rear picture of the existing buildings. This is the picture on the other side of neighbor. There's a neighbor on the north side. And this is the neighbor on the south side. This is the site plan for the project. As you can see that the building on both sides with the subject building is pretty much, similar or identical. The rear yard is about 43 feet right now. We've proposed to construct a 7-foot deck, 7 by 13 exactly. The deck is not encroached into the 25% required backyard. So it's pretty much sticking out 7 feet from the back of the existing buildings. So this is the floor plan, the existing on the left-hand side and then the proposed on the right-hand side. This is the elevation, the rear elevation and also the side elevation. You can see that the deck is about, you know, less than 10 feet above grade with pretty much, you know, open guardrails. Second floor deck is commons, you know, on the neighborhoods. I show some photograph of the, some of the deck that, you know, on the neighborhood. This is one of those. This is just the neighbors. That's one's neighbor as well. This is the one of the deck, you know, on the backyard on the Colossus Street, on the 28th Avenue. This one is just directly from our backyard. You can see that there is a deck right there. There's a deck right there as well. This is just a bigger picture from our the back of our buildings. As you can see that, you know, that two deck is clearly there. This deck is on our side, is on 29th Avenue. And that's it, Oli. I'll be happy to answer whatever question you have.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the general public who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on this. One quick question. I'm just going to clarify, is there an existing accessory structure in the rear, at the rear of this property?
No.
Okay. I was just looking at the aerial photos and it looked as if there was, but sometimes that might be the adjacent property and not this one, but
right.
I couldn't quite tell if it was this property or a different one.
You're saying, by the way, we got, you know, supporting letters, mm-hmm. you know, from both a neighbor, adjacent neighbor as well.
Okay. The challenge here is that, you know, the rear yard requirement here is 45%.
Right.
And you're allowed to do the pop-out, which pretty much everyone has done here. It's a pretty standard pattern of that. So doing the deck on the rear is kind of an even further extension into the required rear yard. And the challenge gets to be what is the exceptional circumstance or extraordinary circumstance
right
here for this property, which is a fairly, you know, a good-sized flat property with a perfectly fine single-family home. With plenty of usable open space in the rear, so there's no kind of lack of open space that the deck is needed for. It sounds like you're saying the main reason it's being proposed is that it would allow direct access to open space off the second floor without having to go down.
That is correct, because the property owner mm-hmm. have a health problem that it cannot, you know, going up and down, you know, the stairs.
Yeah. Okay. You know, generally, we don't consider health issues of the occupant to be a matter for granting or denying a variance, because obviously it's going to be there for a long time. I think there's still a challenge there. And beyond that, I know that this is still subject to neighborhood notification for this,
yes.
for this, which will be ongoing. So For now, I'll go ahead and take it under advisement because we have the notification coming up. I don't know if there's going to any discretionary review to be filed. So
the notification has been now,
but it's not completed.
It is completed already.
It has been completed.
Yes.
And let me just verify the notes here. I'm sorry, I was looking at a different project for that, for the 311 completeness. Thank you very much. So I will clarify that correction, that the neighborhood notification has been completed and no discretionary review was requested, and we did not receive any specific public comment during the notification period. Okay. I'm still going to take it under advisement.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I believe that was the last case on the agenda today. So at this point, we are on to public comment item C.
Can I please ask you, 1105, 1107 Church?
That was part of the consent calendar, I believe. Was it not?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes.
Yes, so that was on the consent calendar. Do you mind going to the podium? Sure. Just for the
thank you. Good morning.
Yeah. Just for the recording, for the record, you know, a member of the public requested information about 1105 to 1107 Church. That was on the consent calendar. So at the very beginning of the hearing,
yes,
that was called to see if there's any public comment. At that time, there was none, and so that item was concluded, and it will be granted with the general standards.
Thank you so much.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, is there any other public comment on any item that was not on the agenda today? All right, seeing none, I will adjourn the hearing. Okay.